There's a famous question that Mordechai made a tannis for Klal Yisrael. Vayavar Mordechai. Chazal understand Vayavar Mordechai. They made Klal Yisrael fast on Pesach. Yudalit, Tesvav, and Teszai Nissen. And the question is, why would it be that he would make Klal Yisrael fast for 3 days, meaning they couldn't have a Sudas Yontif, they couldn't have a Seder, they couldn't mekayim the Mitzvah Deraisa of Matzah? What's the pshat in it? The Gezeirah of Haman was going to take place 11 months later. Why couldn't he wait till after Yontif and then make the Tannis? So Sefer Tver Shlaim explains it. I'll bring a Maisa down to bring it a little clearer. There was a person, a wealthy man, whose son was very sick. So he went around to Talmid Chachomim and he gave them money and he asked them to fast on a certain day. On that day, one of the Talmid Chachomim he gave the money to, he saw that he had made a Sudas Aniyim, invited all the poor people to come and eat by him. So he went and he asked him, what's going on? You're supposed to fast today, not make a Sudas Aniyim. Why are you doing that? So he said, you wanted me to fast, why? Because you wanted your son to get better. Let me tell you something. I fast every Monday and Thursday, and very often in between as well. In Shemayim, they'll look down. They'll see me fasting. It won't mean anything to them. They won't notice me fasting. I'm always fasting. But I'm a poor man. A Sudas Aniyim I've never made in my life. When I make a Sudas Aniyim, there's going to be such a tumult, such a rash in Shemayim. Everybody's going to say, why is he making Sudas Aniyim? It doesn't make sense. And they'll start discussing, oh, because this man, his son is sick, and he gave him money. And they'll notice your son is sick. That's how your son will get a full shleimah. Mordechai knew what the Seder is. Many of the good Haggadahs bring down, there's a Zohar that's brought down just before the Seder, which tells us that when a Yid sits for the Seder, the whole Parmaya Shalmaila, the whole heavenly host comes down to listen to the Seder. And there's nothing that gives them simcha v'chedva more than listening to a Yid Seder. So Mordechai knew what's going to happen is Seder night. The heavenly host is going to come down and they're going to see there is no Seder. And they're going to say, what happened? And they're going to say, Haman's making a gezeira. He's made a gezeira that is never going to be a Seder again. It's going to make such a tumult when they come to see the Seder. And there isn't one. They're waiting for that day of Simcha and it's not coming. That's going to create a wake-up call in Shemayim. That is what's going to save Klal Yisrael. Gives us an idea of the chashivas of the Seder. The vision of the Rebbe used to say that every expression that Eden say has a mekor, there's a reason for it. And as a soul, you hear over and over again, Hakol b'seder. And he says that's so true. Hakol b'seder. Our ganz Yiddishkeit is in the Seder. The future, the emunah of our future dairis are all built into the Seder, dependent on the Seder. There's the mitzvah of chinuch doesn't apply all year. There's no mitzvah of chinuch. The only mitzvah of chinuch we have is v'igadta levincha b'yoymahu leimor. That mitzvah of passing down to the next generation of Seder night. That's the mitzvah deraisa. How do you have to say it over? So the Chasam Sofer in Drasha says, what's this word leimor? V'igadta levincha b'yoymahu leimor. Just tell it over to him. What's the leimor at the end of the pasuk? He says v'igadta levincha. You should tell it over to him. How should you tell it over to him? You should give it over to him with such feeling, such passion, such argosha, lemoy, that he will say it over. He'll pass it down to his children. As the Pasuk says by Arbe, lemante saper, bazne bincha or ben bincha, they'll pass down. The way you say it over will make sure it keeps being passed down through the generations. And with this, we can understand the minhag to wear the kittel. Different reasons are given. I once heard from Rav Schlesing a very interesting reason, wife wearing the kittel. When Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was dying, his Talmidim came to visit him. And he began to cry. And they asked him why he's crying. And he said, I don't know, be'ezeh derech melich noisi. I don't know which way they're taking me. He didn't know which path he's going to go, Gan Eden or Gehenna. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know. And what does he mean, melich noisi? They're going to take me. Who's going to take me? And why did he only cry when the Talmidim came in? The pshat is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew he had lived his life correctly. But he had taught Talmidim. He is nechrayas how those Talmidim are going to come out. So he said, I don't know which way you're going to take me. He saw the Talmidim, he began to cry. That's going to affect me, how you behave after I'm gone. That is what he was worried about. the lessons that you give your children, that is what continues after you've gone. It says, "Bnoi karo davua." A son is like the leg of the father. Why is a son compared to the leg of a father? Because after a person dies, he's an oimid, he's no longer a hilach. As long as you arrive, you can go. A malach is an oimid, he stays in one position. There's no growth. When a person dies, he's like a malach, he's an oimid. No growth anymore. But when a person has children, and those children follow in his footsteps, following the right path, the person continues to be a hilach. But not karadavur, is the leg of the father, can keep the person going afterwards. Seder night is that night where we instill that emun in our children. To be able to carry that torch after we're gone. We wear the kittel to remind us. A little morbid in a way, but to remind us. One day you're going to be putting on this kittel. All you can take with you is what you do on this night. How you play this night, that's what's going to affect after 120. We have to understand also, why is it called Haggadah, what we say over? Where does the word Haggadah come from? So if you look at all the sons, it always uses a Lashon Amira. The only time it says the word Haggadah is V'igadata Levincha Bayayimahu Lemor. That word V'igadata Levincha, it says in that Pasuk, Bayayimahu, on that day. The other sons is Lav Davka talking about Pesach. It's the only one where we know is talking about the night of Pesach. The Torah uses the word Haggadah, so what we say on Seder night is called the Haggadah. But a person can say to himself, me? How am I going to be able to say over? I'm not a teacher, I'm not a Rebbe, I've got no training in this. I never went to Torah Masorah sessions to know how to teach. I've got to give over a lesson tonight. So the Haggadah has inbuilt, built into it, exactly all the tools you need for teaching. You have in it questions and answers. You have stories. You have props. You have the Afikoman, a reward system. You have excitement, stealing the Afikoman. Everything you need for giving over, you have on that night. But you see that also, the tools for chinuch, by the simonim. We begin with the simonim. And that is one of the number one lessons in teaching is, before a person begins, you should tell, what am I going to teach today? A person is teaching Gemara. The Gemara is much clearer if you tell the Talmidim. The Gemara is going to ask a kasha, and there's going to be three answers to that kasha. So we say over, this is what's happening tonight. We lay it out, Kaddish, Urchatz. The kasha is in Kaddish. Why does it use the Lashon Kaddish? It should be Kiddush is the normal word we use. So the Maral says, it's not going on the Kiddush. It's going on the person. You mekadish yourself. A person is mekadish himself like the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. It is so holy this night. You're doing avodah, another reason to wear a kittel. You're doing avodah like the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's kaddish. You mekadish yourself. The Avnei Nezer asks the Kasha, if you be mekadish yourself like Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, the Mishnah tells us over and over again, how is he mekadish himself? First, toval, the kiddush. First, he did tefillah. And then he was Mekadosh himself. And over here we see the opposite. Here we have Kaddish and then Urchatz. The washing comes after. Shouldn't there first be the preparation? Urchatz, cleanse yourself, wash yourself, and then Kaddish if it's going on the person. Says the Avnei Nezer, that normally for a person to get Siyata Dishmaya, you've got to put yours in first. Pischli Pesach Shel Machat. Open me up an opening, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the size, the eye of a needle. And I will open up for you a doorway that wagons can go through. But you have to make that very first opening. On Seder night, you don't need to do anything. Seder night, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the Siyata Dishmaya right away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over the Pesach. You don't need that Pischli Pesach Shel Machat. Right away, you can start with Kaddish. The Kedusha comes instantly on the night of Pesach. And the word Urchatz is a strange Lashon. Later on in the Simonim, it doesn't say Urchatz, it says Rochatzah. Why doesn't it say now Rochatzah as well? So you could understand that Urchatz is more like a command. You should go and wash. At this moment, at the beginning of the Seder, we're acting more like Avodim. And Eved is told what to do. And later on, we're B'nei Chorin. It's more a suggestion, it's more passive later on. It's a nice idea, but the Pasha Pshat, and why it says Urchatz at the beginning, is probably because Urchatz rhymes better with Yachatz, and Rochatza rhymes better with Moitzi Matzah. That's probably the Pasha Pshat. We get then to Halach Ma'anya. And the Magen Avraham has a big tumult whether one should say Halach Ma'anya or K'Halach Ma'anya. And different Haggadahs have it differently. So there's two pshatim which are very different, the two of them, of which one you should say and why you should say them. The Dubna Magid is a famous marshal. There was a person who was very poor, and one day he became wealthy. So on the day he became wealthy, every year he would celebrate that day, make a big party in his house. And he just put on his old clothing from when he was poor. He would dress up in that clothing. And then he would give out presents and have a big suda. And this went on for many years. And then the years went by, and just like in most Dubna Magid Misholim, he lost all his money. And now he comes into the house dressed in his ragged clothing. The children get all excited. Wow, it's the party today. We're going to get presents today. And he says, no, this time it's for real. We're poor again. When Klal Yisrael, when Eretz Yisrael, then they were able to say, K'Halach Ma'anya, this is like the poor bread. We have Baruch Hashem Beis HaMikdash again. We're acting out, K'Halach, it's like, but now we have Geula. But then there was Churban. No more Beis HaMikdash. So instead of saying, Koha, it's Halach Ma'anya, we're living again in Golis again. Again, we have that Avdus again to the Goyim. So it's Halach Ma'anya. Dubna Magid's Mahalach. A sad Mahalach to say. This Chasam Seif in Droshes says a different Mahalach, which again is more uplifting. He says that nowadays it makes more sense, Koha Lach Ma'anya. Why? Because Klal Yisrael back then, in that Golis, there was no way out. There was a Nevuah. Bris Ben Absorim, they were told, they're going to be there 400 years. So you can make different cheshbonos how they filled it. But there was a fixed amount of time. There was no way they could get out earlier than the time that they had to be there. The Golis we're in now is very different. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, in Bekoilois Ishmoed, there's a pasuk that says, we listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Geula can come anytime, instantly it can come. So now it's K'Halach Ma'anya. Yes, we're in Golis, but it's not like their Golis. Their Golis was one that they could never get out of it. Our Golis, any time we want, we're able to bring the Geula. In Halach Ma'anya we say, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. And the question, of course, is, isn't that a little late now to invite guests? I wonder, has it ever happened that somebody said, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, and then after that, guests came in? So why are we saying it? So there's a very simple pshat. If one looks in the Gemara in Tanis Dav Chav, Rav Huna Kiava Korach Rifta. Whenever Rav Huna had a meal, Omri said, Kol Man De Tzorech, Leisi V'lechol. Anybody who needs to eat can come to my house and eat. Every meal of his, he invited Aniyim to come. Rava then said, I can't do that. I can't afford to invite people for every meal. So what do you see from that Gemara? It was a siman of Ashiras to be able to invite people. We're showing it again to pretend, to show the Bnei Chayrin. We invite guests, that is part of the demonstration. We put the finest silver, the finest things we have on our table, and we do that inviting guests to show that we're able to invite guests. The Chasam Sofer says in the words, Hashah Tohocha, Lashon HaBor Ba'ar Yisrael, he says, now that we're using a house for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it comes out like the Gemara Megillah says, Dav Chavtes, that all Batei Midrashos and Batei Knesiyos are all going to move to Eretz Yisrael. So our house is becoming now a Mikdash Ma'at. Our house is being used for a mitzvah to say over Torah. So this very house, Hoshah Tohocha, this year our house is here. Next year this same house will be with us, Mitzvah Shem, in Eretz Yisrael. But what's difficult at the end of that piece is that double Lashon. Hoshah Tohocha, now we are here. Lashon HaBor next year, Ba'ar Yisrael. Hoshah To'avdei, now we're slaves. Lashon HaBor, B'nei Chayrin. Next year will be free people. Why did it break it up into two parts? Hoshata and Hoshata again. Why couldn't it just say, Hoshata Hocha, now we're here, the Avdei, and we're slaves. Lashon HaBor next year, Mirat Hashem will be free men in Eretz Yisrael. Why in two different ways do we say it? So Rav Olbaum, in his Haggadah Minchas Chein, he explains it, the double Lashon. But I'd like to first explain a little clearer But the Vod that we see in Parshas Va'era brings down the four Lashonis of Geula. Voitzeis yetzchem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. I will take you out from the suffering in Mitzrayim. The word sivlois is written without a vav. And then you get the other Lashonis of Geula. Voitzeisi v'yitzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti. You get all the Lashonis. The last one, v'lakachti, says the same words again. V'lakachti yetzchem lil'om. V'yisi lochem le'lokim. V'yedatem, you'll know. Ki ani Hashem lakeichem. Hamoitzi yetzchem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. Who took you out from the suffering in Mitzrayim. You see the same words, sivlois Mitzrayim. But here sivlois is spelled with a vav. Why first without a vav, and this time with a vav? The Sefer Bar Yosef explains that when Klai Yisroel Mitzrayim, there was a double shibud. There was just shibud anefesh and a shibud aguf. They were in Memtes Shari Tuma. But Klai Yisroel, they didn't realize that. All they felt was the shibud aguf, the backbreaking work. They didn't understand that shibud anefesh at all. So that's why the first time right sivlois, it's written without a vav, singular. One suffering, that physical suffering. But then, I'll take you for people. There's going to be a Matan Torah. Klal Yisrael are going to reach a high level then. That level of Matan Torah. And then the Adatan, you'll know, Ki ani Hashem lekeichem, asher tzeisi eschem, I took you out. Mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. With a vav, plural. There was a double suffering. You came out just not just a shibud aguf, but also a shibud anefesh as well. Similarly, we are now in Golas. But how many people in this Golas feel the shibud anefesh? We feel a shibud aguf. We can't do whatever we want. But the shibud anefesh to realize that we're also in Memtes Shari Tuma. To realize that, it's very difficult to realize that. Here in America, freedom of religion. Very hard. But afterwards, Mitzvah Shem, there'll be a Geula. And when there's a Geula, we'll start recognizing it. Just like we see a person who is sick. Sometimes a person is so sick, he doesn't realize how sick he is. When he starts getting better, he realizes how sick he was. When there is Geula, and we look back, we'll be able to see how sick we'd been. So first we say, at the beginning, all we can ask for, Asha Tocha, Lo Shana Bar Ba'ad Yisrael. That's one level. And then there's going to be a second level we'll get to. Hushata Avdei Lashana Bobnei Chayrin. We'll realize then that we were also Avodim at this moment as well. There's a famous story with the Chernobyl Rebbe that he was staying at an inn and he was saying Tikkun Chatzos. And he was crying away sitting on the floor. The innkeeper and his wife heard the cry. So she sent the innkeeper, go check and see if it's okay. He goes running, is everything okay? He says, yeah. He says, so what are you crying for? He says, I'm crying, I want Mashiach to come. I want the Geula. Don't you want Mashiach to come? So this innkeeper was very well trained. He said, let me check with my wife. He goes to his rabbis and he says, you know, do we want Mashiach to come? So she says, listen, right now we've got a wonderful inn over here and we have a cow and some chickens. I tell him we're not interested. No, thank you. He goes back and he tells this to the Schnabler Rebbe. The Schnabler Rebbe says to him, and what happens if the Cossacks come? And they burn down your inn, and they slaughter your chickens, and take away your cow, then what's going to be? So he said, let me check again. He goes to the wife, he comes back, and he says, my wife said, yeah, we do want Mashiach to come. Mashiach should come and take the Cossacks to Eretz Yisrael. That's how many people look, we want Geula now. The stock market is down, there's recession, there's different reasons people want Mashiach, want Geula. But they don't realize, there's Shibud HaGuf, they don't realize there's a Shibud HaNefesh as well. And the truth is, this isn't just in physical freedom. A person doesn't always realize what it means, freedom. There was a maisa in Eretz Yisrael, and Gashmias is the same thing. The police chief told the Rav that they have a man in jail, and he's been in jail for the last few months. He's been in jail because he wouldn't give his wife a get. And he said he doesn't care to stay in jail for 100 years. What do you suggest we do? He says, you know what I suggest you do? Let him out for a week. Let him out for a week, and then rearrest him again. And then see what happens. So they did that, and they came to rearrest him. And he says, no, I don't want to go back there again. He'd forgotten what freedom meant. He was out for a week, he understood then what it means to be free. Then he didn't want to go back again. One day we'll realize what Shibud HaNefesh we have right now. We left our carapace. So So karpas, what is the purpose of karpas? And the Gemara says, in order, the children should ask. And then what? What does that mean, the children should ask? So to understand it, what it means very simply is like this. Somebody said over, they were in shul, and they saw a man that he was taking off his tefillin, and his collar was twisted. So he went over to him and he showed him that his collar is twisted. As soon as he showed him his collar is twisted, the guy said, oh, thank you so much. And then he says, you know, here, take my business card. I'm in insurance. If you have any needs, you could call me. So he was saying over the person who received the business card how impressed he was that this man is ready any time to do business. It's like ready there. He was saying it over to a friend of his. And his friend Nari says, he's a real salesperson. It's more than that. He twisted the collar in the first place that you should make an interaction with him. And the truth is, it goes deeper than that as well. Because when you fixed his collar, what is Ava? Ava of Dessler says is giving, from the word hav, to give. When you give somebody, you feel closer. By you helping him straighten his collar, you helped him. You created a relationship with him. You have warmer feelings towards him. It's really a good business tool. But again, what was his purpose? His purpose wasn't straightening the collar. His purpose was to create an interaction between them. The karpas is the same thing. There's no purpose in the karpas itself. That's the twisting of the collar. That's just to get them interested, to create an interaction, and then we could give them with the Haggadah. That's the posh pshat to understand it. The Chasam Sofer, he adds to that. And he says, no. The children are going to ask, why are you doing it? You know what the answer is? The answer is, there is no answer. And you're teaching them one of the biggest yesodis in Yiddishkeit. And especially when it comes to Emunah. That not every question has an answer. You have to be able to accept in Yiddishkeit that you're not always going to get answers. And we see that again in the Haggadah. When we say, Matzazu shon oichlin, mishum bo. It should be, this matzah we eat, why? What should it say? It should say, Loma oichlin matzah. Why do we eat matzah? Says it back to front. This matzah that we eat, why do we eat it? Just ask, why do we eat matzah? The pshat is, first you have to know, matzazu shon oichlin. We eat matzah. We don't ask questions. There's a mitzah. You have done the mitzah already. Now he can ask, al shumbo, why are you doing it? But first, a yid has to do. Just like we say, ein kelekenu, there's nobody like Hashem. Later on, you can ask the question, mi kelekenu. You can't start, mi kelekenu, who is like Hashem. Also, you could say the karpas is symbolism. We take a radish, we take a potato. Last week, this radish or potato was under the ground. It was surrounded by worms, dirt, manure, and now it's beautifully a white radish, cleansed, served on a silver platter. And this mamash symbolizes Klal Yisrael. They were bruised, battered, physically, spiritually. A short while later, they were standing, a Kabbalah Zatira, shining on a silver platter. Rabbeinu Menoyach, in the Rambam, the Frankel Rambam has Rabbeinu Menoyach printed there. And he says another pshat in karpas. Because when one goes through the Haggadah, it would seem that act one, scene one, is missing. We talk about how we came out of Mitzrayim, but how on earth did we get there in the first place? It begins in the middle of the story. How did they get there? And the answer is very simple. They got there when the Yosef's brothers sold him down to Mitzrayim, and in the end, Yaakov followed him there. So Yetzias Mitzrayim begins with coming into Mitzrayim. And that begins with Mechiras Yosef. In Mechiras Yosef, they took his coat and they dipped it in the blood. So when we do the Seder, many things in the Seder are very subtle. And this is also subtle. We take the karpas and we dip it in the salt water. And the salt water probably symbolizes the tears of Yosef. Of Yosef's coat being dipped in the blood. And that is how we came down to Mitzrayim. What's fascinating about this pshat is, when one looks in Rashi, in Parshas Vayeshev, on the words Ksoinus Pasim, and Rashi says, Ksoinus Pasim, where does this word Pasim come from? Kamoi, just like a word in the Megillah. In the Megillah it says the tapestries that were hanging in Ahasuerus' palace. Karpas utcheles. The word pasim is the same as the word in the Megillah of karpas. So that karpas over here that we have is meramas to Yosef's coat. So that ksoinus pasim being dipped in the blood, and that's how we came down to Mitzrayim. Then we have yachatz. Yachatz, we break the middle matzah into two. And the reason we break it into two is, as the geula was not complete, and there's going to be for Klal Yisrael future geulas as well, we hide the larger piece of the matzah. The larger piece represents the final geula, which will be a much greater geula, which much greater nisim than that geula was in Mitzrayim. And we start with the Dalet Kosis. The Dalet Kosis, why four cups? They represent the four lashonis of Gula, Vayitzeisi, Vayitzalti, Vagaalti, Vlakachti. And the kasha is obvious. Why do we have four cups of wine to represent the four lashonis of Gula? Why can't we have, let's say, four matzahs to represent? After all, matzahs symbolize the Gula. So rather have four matzahs for the four lashonis of Gula. Why dafka wine? So B'Shloim Zalman, in Masechet Pesachim, in Avri Pesachim, he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Chav Zayin Zayin, that says, Nefesh Seveya Tovus Neifes, which means when a person is full, he doesn't enjoy his food anymore. He despises his food. Food is something, at the beginning you eat, it's kishmak, and the more you eat, it gets less and less exciting. Wine is the opposite. The more you drink, the more kishmak it gets. So we want something to symbolize geula. One stage, the next stage, the geula got better and better until there was a complete geula, until there was a lakachti, it was matan Torah. Wine best symbolizes that. But according to the Yerushalmi, it's very passionate why we symbolize with wine. The Yerushalmi says, why do we have four cups of wine? It's got nothing to do with the four lashonis of geula. It's because of the four times the word kois is mentioned in the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, that he mentions kois karpar yodi, vo ekaches kois paroi, vo eschoit kois. So why is it says there the word four times kois paroi, four times the word kois, we have four koises. And of course, this Yerushalmi would seem to be a medrash plia. Why should we have four cups of wine? Because in the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, there was four times the word cups of wine are mentioned. So we can understand when we analyze what happened then. Yosef interpreted their dreams. And one can ask, Chazal tell us, one bracha says, from the Lashonis and the Psukim there, that a dream goes after the interpreter. How you interpret it, that's how the dream comes out. So Yosef chose to interpret the dream of the Sar HaMashkim for good, and the opposite for the dream of the baker. Why did Yosef interpret the Sar HaMashkim positively, and not the Sar HaOifim? So the pshat is that Yosef saw that when he said over his dream, he kept talking about serving his master. Kois paroi biyodi, vo ekach es kois paroi, ve eschoit oisam el kois paroi. He kept thinking about getting back to serve his master again. He cared about serving his master. Somebody's old tachlis is to serve his master, he deserves to get his job back. The Sar HaOifim, on the other hand, he didn't seem to take that much interest in his job. He did his job. The birds were eating from it. Didn't bother him too much. I did mine. He wasn't interested in serving the master. You don't deserve to get your job back. So Yosef explained the Sar HaMashkim will get his job back. That is an incredible lesson for us. On Seder night, we are talking about Geula. Lashona Habo Ba'ad Yisrael. Lashona Habo B'Yerushalayim. We talk about Geula. We're yearning for Geula. We have to want Geula for one reason. The same reason as the Sar HaMashkim. He wanted Geula to be able to serve his master. We should also want Geula for that purpose alone, because that way we'll be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. We get to the Man Ishtana. And the son asks four questions. And the father answers Avodah Meginu. And perhaps this is one of the most important things for a father to know. What's going to happen when your son says to you, I don't want your honey, and I don't want your sting. Like, he put us there in the first place. Very nice he took us out. Let him not put us there. And if we can't answer that question, we haven't gained that much on Seder night. We're still stuck then. We have to be able to answer that question. And the answer to it is very simple. That in Veschanan we see that Mitzrayim is referred to as a Kor Barzel. It's cleansing. It's a furnace to cleanse. It cleanses imperfections. Rav says we begin from Tchilo Ivdi Avodah Zarah. Shmuel says we begin the Agada from Avodah Meginu. And we say both. And the truth is, they're both connected. Because Mitchilo Ivdi Avodah Zarah, that put in our genetic makeup some sediments, some imperfections. There are things that we have to get rid of. And because of that, we need to be cleansed in a fiery furnace. We were sent to cleanse us to Mitzrayim, to that Kor Barzel. And we came up pure, ready for Matan Torah. And that is why, that when a person makes Shechayonu, he has to have Das, the Shechayonu is going on the morrow. Which is interesting. Shechayonu on the morrow, normally, when it comes to bitter things, we don't make a Shechayonu. We don't make a Brocha, Shasimcha b'moina by Bris, because Tzaru d'yunuka, the pain of the child. Here, this is morrow. We make a Shechayonu on it. Yes, because this morrow is a different morrow. This morrow is what's cleansing us. This is the morrow just like when a person has tzaras in his house. And then he takes down the house. He finds a treasure inside. That morrow found that Amsegula, Klal Yisrael, inside the treasure of Klal Yisrael. The pure neshama. And that is why if you look in the Agada, we make two shechionos really tonight. The first one we make is, we say the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Goalonu, the goddess of Yisrael Mitzrayim, Vihigionu Lalaila Hazer. We don't talk about just Nizman Hazer. We say Vihigionu Lalaila Hazer. Laila represents the darkness, the night. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're happy that we reached Laila Hazer this night, that night of the morrow, because that is what cleansed us. And then we have the other Shechionu going on the Gula itself. And with this we can understand where Rav Gamliel says the order, Pesach, Matzah, or morrow. What came first? First came the morrow, then the Pesach or Matzah. The pshat is, they didn't understand the morrow at the time. But afterwards, they came to Matan Torah. They'd been cleansed, they were pure. That is when they understood the purpose of the morrow. Rav Ram Shuren is our God. He says that Manishtana Halayla Zeh is a question we have to ask ourselves. How does this night change me? How do I become different from this night and get inspired from this night? We get to the first question. The first question is a little difficult because let's compare it to the second question. On other nights of the year, we have Shai Yerokos. Tonight, morrow. The first question should be the parallel of that. On other nights of the year, we have Chometz. Tonight, Matzah. But that's not the first question. The first question is, on other nights of the year we have chometz or matzah. Who has chometz, matzah, during the year? At $24 a pound, it's a lot cheaper to eat steak. Nobody's eating Pesach tikka matzahs during the year. Yeah, you might have some leftovers, and you're upset at how much leftovers you have. What a waste. So nobody wants matzah the other nights of the year. So why do we say on other nights of the year we eat chometz or matzah? The Chasam Sofer in Droshes explains it. That this child is asking a much deeper question. The child is asking as follows. When a person brings karbonos, every mincha, and almost every korban we bring is matzah. We don't bring chol sarv, chol devash, loisektiru menesh l'Hashem. We don't bring chometz into the Beis HaMikdash. There's only one korban that an individual brings, that is chometz, and that is the korban toida. You have 40 loaves, 30 are matzah, 10 are chometz. When does a person bring a korban toida? When a person, what we today we bench Gomel, crosses the sea, the desert, comes out of prison, recovers from a sickness. The child is asking the following question. How come on other nights of the year, when any of these four things happen, we bring a korban toidah, which is chometz or matzah? Halayla is there tonight, when Klal Yisrael came out of prison. They crossed the sea. They were choli nefesh, they were memtes sharitumah. And they crossed the desert. All four of them happened. So how come then that we don't have a korban toida? How come we have only matzah? So what's the answer to this question? For 30 years, I knew this question. That's the child's question. 2 years ago, I found out the answer to this question. And the answer is as follows. That the fourth Lashon of Gula is, V'lokachti eschem li la'om, is Matan Torah. The Gula was not complete until Matan Torah. The Ramban in Parshas Emori says, why is Shavuos called Atzeres? Because just like Sukkos, you have at the end of it, Shmini Atzeres. So too, on Pesach, you have, it's not Shmini Atzeres, it's 50 days later. You have also Atzeres. It's one long Yontif, and the days in between are Chol HaMoed. A Mazel, we don't have to do the trips all those days. That would be difficult. But it's in between is Chol HaMoed. It's one long Yontif. It's all connected. And it makes sense. The fall of Shein Zegula, that's when the Gula ended. What is the Korban of Shavuos? The Korban of Shavuos is Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem was the Obli Korban Tzibur. It was made of Chametz. So it comes out that we're celebrating Pesach. But we have to realize, Pesach is not over on the night of Pesach. It's a Pesach with the Shavuos. That was the Shibud Aguf we came out. The Shira Nefesh was only completely over when he got the Torah. That's when we came real B'nai Chayrin. Aim B'nai Chayrin B'Shoyisk B'Torah. That's real Chayris. And that's why we have the matzah we have on Pesach, and we have the Chometz we have on Shavuos. It's one Korban Torah. It all comes together. That's one mahalach to understand. Another way, which the Chasam Seif explains, is the answer the child is that it's not a Korban Torah. Yes, the child asked, it seems to be a Korban Torah. Why aren't we having chametz and matzah? We answer the child, it's not a Korban Torah. What is the Korban? The Korban is a Korban Miluim. On the day that a Kohen was inaugurated, he would bring a Korban, and that Korban was a Korban of matzah, all matzah. So therefore, this is the night when Klal Yisrael were inaugurated as a Mamleches Kohenim. We became a Mamleches Kohenim, and therefore we also bring our Korban of inauguration. We have a Korban which is Kulei Matzah. There's another way the Chasam Seif explains the first question. He says, the son, it seems strange that he's asking why we're having Matzah. We began the Seder. Ho lachma anya, this is the bread that our fathers ate Mitzrayim. So he knows why we're having matzah. In Mitzrayim, that's what they gave the avonim to eat. So what's the question in the Manishtana? So he explains the question is that there were people in Mitzrayim ate matzah. But if they were fortunate enough when they got home, if they found some chametz, if they had a friend who gave them chametz, or if they could afford some chametz, it's true at work, the Mitzrayim gave them matzah, but they also could eat chametz. So the question of the son is like this. I understand in Holach Ma'anyu why we're eating matzah. But his question is, why are we eating kuloi matzah? Why are we eating only matzah tonight? Why can't we also have chametz at the same time? If we would have chametz and matzah, it would be like back in Mitzrayim. The matzah represents the matzah they had when they worked. And chometz is what we regularly eat. They also could eat matzah chometz at the time. So what do we answer the child? No. There's two reasons for matzah. One reason for matzah is, like we said, because that's what the avodim ate. But there's two sides of that coin. The matzah also represents geula. In matzah zu shana oichle mishumo, because we came up with chepozen. It didn't have time to rise. And that reason of matzah, you can't have chometz. They couldn't have matzah then. They couldn't have chametz then. There was no time for the chametz to rise, so they were forced then to have only matzah. So for that reason is why we have only matzah. We mentioned the Korban Torah. The Mordechai, Maseches Pesachim, he says that's why we have three matzahs. They represent the 30 matzahs of Korban Torah. It is a night of a Korban Torah. And we would like to bring a Korban Torah. We can't have the 10 loaves of chametz, but the 30 of matzah we can have, and the 3 matzahs we have represent those 30. You could add to that and say that we break the middle matzah, and that represents the fourth part that we can't represent. We have the broken matzah, makes it into 4. The Ramah quotes the Rosh and says that the 3 matzahs should equal an issorin of flour. because that is how that is a zecha of a carbon toida. That's how much a carbon toida was. So you do see there is this inyan on Seder night of a carbon toida. Represents 30. Yochel Merish Chodesh. I would think we should do the Seder night already on Rish Chodesh. No, that's not next. Next is Avodim Yinu. Avodim Yinu Lepar B'Mitzrayim. V'ilu, we end off. Lo Yitzah Kodesh Baruch, if HaKodesh Baruch wouldn't have taken us out of there. Hari Onu V'neinu B'neinu, we would have still been slaves to Paramitzrayim. First of all, he's teaching us the way a person should have Hakoras HaToiv. Hakoras HaToiv, appreciation, has to be a person to think, what would my matzav have been without this? A person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blesses a person, and a person has family, or a person has panosa, a person has health. The way to really appreciate is, what would be if I didn't have these things? How miserable my life would be. So we have to imagine, what it would have been like to be an Eved. That is the way you appreciate properly. There's a story that Baron Rothschild one time got a bone caught in his throat. And they were trying to get the bone out. They weren't able to. And he was almost choking. Somebody saw a doctor going by. So they called in the doctor. And he was able to get the bone out. Baron Rothschild says, he was very thankful to him. He says, how much do I owe you? And he says, no, nothing, I was just passing by. He says, listen, I'm Baron Rothschild, I can afford to pay you. Tell me your price. He says, listen, I wasn't in my office now. I was doing a personal favor, I was going by, you don't have to pay me. He says, do you realize who I am? Do you realize how wealthy I am? There's no such thing, nobody does me a favor without me paying back. You tell me how much you want and I'll pay you. He says, it's difficult to tell you how much to pay. It's not my office. But if you insist on paying, you know what? Just give me, at the time you had the bone stuck in your throat, how much were you thinking then you would have agreed to pay to get that bone out? Just give me half that money. That would be enough for my fee. That is our Hakoras HaToiv. At the time we have a tzara and we think, oi, if only the Baruch Hu will get us out of it. And once the person is out of it, is it the same? Is it the same appreciation? It says in Rashi in Chai Sora, Baskuf Kabaschov. At 100 years old, she was like 20. Baskuf, you take capital Kuf in Tehillim. Capital Kuf in Tehillim is Mizmor LeSeder. Mizmor LeSeder should be Kabaschov. Chof is, capital Chof is Lamatzeach Yang Hashem B'Yom Tzara. It should be that Mizmor LeSeder, that thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be with the same passion that when you were davening, when you had that tzara, how much you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you then, it should be the same afterwards, the thank you the same way. There's a nice chap over here that says, in Avodah Meyinu, that we would still be Meshubadim to Paray. So we were 210 years there. Why were we there 210 years? The Medrash tells us, because Paray was Melava Sarah for four Amos. So the four Amos that he was Melava Sarah, for that we were Meshubadim Mitzrayim for 210 years. Chazal also tell us, Nebuchadnezzar, he took four steps for Kvod Shemayim. And because of those four steps he took for Kvod Shemayim, Klal Yisrael Meshubad to him for 70 years. And so the question is, why did Paray get 210 years and Nebuchadnezzar only got 70 years? So you can answer very simply like this, that a person's steps are a third of his height. A regular person is three amas. Your step is one amma. So Nebuchadnezzar was a regular person, three amas. He walked four amas, four steps. For the four steps, he gets 70 years. The Medrash tells us Paray was one amma high. One amma means each step of his was a third of an amma. So for him to walk four ammas was 12 steps, three times the amount. So he gets, instead of 70 years, he gets three times the amount. He gets 210 years, the Klai Yisrael Mitzrayim. It's getting late, just to add one more point now. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have taken us out of there, we would still be Meshubad to Paray Mitzrayim. Cannot be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu, there'll be Mitzrayim, will be Be'eretz Lo Lehem for 400 years, and after that they'll come out, Baruch Hashem, they're going to come out. So how could you say we'll still be Mitzrayim? So it's very meduik. It doesn't say it would still be avodim. It says at the beginning, avodim ayinu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have taken us out, but what? Paro would have released us on his own free will. He would have wanted to release us and let us go. So then we would have to have a korzat tov to Paro. We would still have that connection to Mitzrayim. Mushubodim ayinu, not avodim ayinu. Would still be mushubah, that connection we would still have with Paro today. Mitzvah Shem will continue tomorrow.